we're back. Back on hour number two. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the second hour of the Vinnie Eastwood Show broadcast today. My very special guest, Suzanne Posel from Occupy Corporatism. And you wanted to respond to what I said before we went out to break about how they're going to use this to demonize Christians, patriots, constitutionalists, libertarians, and so forth.
Yes, because, well, I wrote an article about this. I went back and looked at the right-wing extremism report back in 2009, and they were talking about people waking up to the Oklahoma City bombing being a false flag. And they were talking about how extremists and people who were joining militias, lumping in evangelicals into this whole mix. Anyone who is patriotic, anyone who believes in a constitutional republic, anyone who doesn't go along with the flow, any tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists, these people are all dangerous, and they will organize and they will become violent. And I saw that immediately in the mainstream, them talking about right-wing extremists. And there was a gentleman with a backpack, and they're looking into this, whether or not these were backpack bombs and whether or not he was a patriot or whether or not he was involved in any sort of movement along with constitutionalists. And this whole movement is to demonize anyone who, this is like the last ditch effort to mark anyone who talks about things that you and I talk about on a regular basis, and anyone who reads or listens to these programs to get to know who these people are and demonize them and get rid of them eventually. Because that's when, if they're going to roll out martial law or they're going to do any type of lockdown to control the population, they're thinking that these people are going to be the ones who are going to be combative. And they want to make sure that they're able to deal with the problem that they see, which is us, as well as getting their agenda situated so that they can go ahead with their plans. And it's very scary when we see more and more events like what happened in Boston and events that are going to happen. These are all going to be tied to patriots, and these are all going to be tied to people who don't go along with the program. We know it's a false flag. Anybody who uses those terms, they're marked. And the flip side of it is it instills fear and terror in people because they don't want to be, nobody wants to be killed, nobody wants to be marked, nobody wants to have something horrible happen to them. That flip side of that is how they also control us mentally. If there's less people for them to have to rally up and go after, then all the better, right?
Well, I think that whenever an agenda comes forth after some type of disaster, then you suddenly realize why the disaster was actually put in place in the first place. Or more to the point, you understand what the agenda of the people who are reacting to the disaster actually is. And this is my great inkling, is that, yes, there is now homegrown terror. White Al-Qaeda, in other words, the very, very dangerous evil people who believe in having rights and private property and strong belief in God, spirituality, strengthening communities through talking and caring about one another, participating in the economy in an open, honest format, discussing real issues in public meetings, taking notes, keeping a watch on the corrupt in governments and other forms of scumbaggery, preventing crime in their communities by having neighborhood watches and stuff like that, which they volunteer for. There's an awful lot of bad, bad, evil, evil, evil people out there who need to be desperately demonized.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why would you're not going to give up your children. You're not going to give up your rights. You're not going to give up your property. You're going to fight them tooth and nail all the way down to it. You're never going to give up. So right now they're data mining. Right now they're rooting you out. and they want to know exactly how many of you they have to deal with, what your threat level is, what your capabilities are, so they know how they have to combat you. And meantime, the people who are not awake, they're terrorizing them into thinking that the people who do want freedom and justice and just to live a happy life with everyone else being happy and everything going nice, the people who aren't awake, they're actively working on them mentally with a lot of propaganda to get them to hate you, to see you as combative on a personal level as well as on a national level.
If you can do this in an argument, it works very well to disrupt your enemy's argument. You call them a name and associate them with something bad. So, for example, if somebody is saying climate change is a natural phenomenon, you call them a climate denier, and that equates them with a Holocaust denier. Okay, so great. Instantly, every single thing that that person says can't be listened to. I mean, it's cheapest creepers. I mean, they're a climate denier, you know. They're just silly. They're just crazy. So what you do is you equate every single person who actually gives a frack about the United States as an internal terrorist. And so anytime right. anybody anywhere talks about the freedom of the United States or the New World Order or the Founding Fathers or makes frequent references to the Constitution, you instantly think of a person who would just as likely blow up an 8-year-old girl.
Absolutely.
Holy cow. You know, they reckon they've got this stitched up, but have you noticed that within minutes of this bombing, within minutes, it was completely exposed in all sections of the alternative media. Isn't that interesting? Whether or not the so-called exposed type reporting and things like that that we do have in alternative media are 100% accurate, I think is actually never mind, because there's still alternative commentary coming out very, very quickly, faster than the mainstream news are practically reporting it. And details yeah. are emerging, and they do come up very quick. Like, within a week, we know 100 times more than anybody who's watching the mainstream media knows about this particular event. I guarantee you. Because there's that many researchers out there who just pour into stuff and just throw it up on YouTube and Facebook and all over the place, man. You know, it's so easy to get informed when you're not listening to the mainstream media. There was an old saying, I think it might have been by Mark Twain or some other old wise author of American history. He said, people who read nothing at all are more informed than those who read only newspapers, or words to that effect. I think that very much
that's brilliant.
Truthful
today. That's
it's
brilliant.
Very much yeah, it's very much truthful today. And the grand scheme of things in terms of the Patriot movement and what have you tends to be like, can we win? Can we beat these people? Are we basically, for some reason, it's really strange. It's like you're comparing apples with apples, you know? Like, oh, we're not exposing enough of them because they're able to broadcast such and such propaganda and all that stuff very quickly. In fact, I had an email from a listener this morning that I wanted to read out of somebody who's a truther who is just basically burnt out, has lost their hope, in other words, and sees the truth movement as the enemy. And he messaged me this with a number of other people, Max Egan, Santos Bonacci. He also mentions this other person, Richard and James. I don't know which Richard and James he's talking about. And he talks to us like by our first names, you know, like Max, Santos, Vinny, Richard, James, mates. You know, I don't even know who the heck this person is. Okay? He signed an email as HH. Hello, mates, that I've never talked to before in my entire life. My name's HH. You know, I think there should be a law in the work here, like anti-HH speech. He says, yeah, been thinking, and this awakening ain't going to happen. All you truth movement industry, in capital letters, professionals, are seriously deluded. One, it would take a top 10% IQ person to A, realize something's wrong and programming breakdown, B, piece together what is wrong, C, want to break free from their programming now that they know what is going on. Okay, so first of all, he makes up a number. Did you know that 99% of all statistics are made up at the top of a motherfucker's head? It would take... Right. And he's making up a statistic about a made-up statistic as well. So it would take a top 10% IQ person. What's the average IQ of a person? I don't know. What's the top 10%? I don't know. You got any measurements of that? No, I don't know. Okay, you got nothing. All right, so you got nothing, and you're saying, oh, only the people who've got nothing can realize something's wrong and break down the programming and piece together what is wrong, which is the same thing as realizing something's wrong. So... see, and C, want to break free from their program now that they know what is going on. Okay, and number two, he says, of those 10% Homo sapiens smart enough to realize something's wrong and figure out what, probably 1 in 100, see, another made-up statistic, based on his other made-up statistic. It's called an axiom, when you base an assumption on another assumption, right? And before you know it, you have 10 assumptions down the road, and you don't know what the frack you even started off with. Probably 1 in 100 would become active in the supposed awakening movement, in brackets, which is basically just a sales pitch by Truth Movement industry professionals to keep us all interested, consuming, and involved in the conversation. So there's something bad about being in the Truth Movement and doing it professionally and having an audience and keeping people interested, right? It's something inherently bad. and he says also consuming, so it's a very bad idea to consuming, so hopefully he'll starve to death or die of thirst in the next few days because he's such a he's so anti-consuming. I'm just being mean to this person and making fun of it because it just kind of irritated me just how wrong somebody can be and how long an email can be wrong. it's quite a long email. Like, you just imagine this person sitting there literally for like an hour and a half writing out all this ranting stuff that he just literally made up off the top of his head in order to convince me that. Oh, me and a bunch of my other fellow colleagues in the Truth Movement, that what we're doing ain't worth doing, that we're evil professionals that are part of an industry that is sucking the lifeblood out of humanity. Right? That's the impression that I get. And he calls us mates. You know? trying to talk into this 91. Oh, and here's another... here's another statistic that he made up. 99 out of 100 would likely vehemently support the existing systems of control or have no choice as it's that or be homeless. Well, that's what's already happening, mate. But you don't realize that this huge, huge movement within the internet sphere, new websites, new blog talk, radio shows and articles and Facebook stuff and everything happening and growing every single day on an exponential fashion. Okay, I know that because I see it all the time. I don't see 99 out of 100 people just going along same old same old. I see maybe 85-90% of people doing that, but that's not entirely unnecessary. You only need, and use a historical example, say 3% of the population to actually know what's going on and want to fight and want to change everything by force. You know, just saying, no, we won't go. Only takes about 3%. That's what it took in the American Revolution. You know, they defeated the greatest empire on earth. 3% of the population. And this guy's talking about how 1 out of 100 people can't make a difference. Dude, throughout history, the 1 out of 100 people is the only one who's gotten off their ass and made a difference. 99% of people doubt themselves so much that they never get off the frickin' couch at all and obviously never accomplish anything. That's what this person is. He's one out of 100 who knows what's going on and chooses to do nothing and blame those who do something for his own problems.
Well, it's hard when, and I'm not defending him, but I've come to realize the mentality. And it's, you know, there was a time when you and I had no idea what was going on. And it's hard for most people, and I'm assuming here, I'm making up a statistic here. But I believe that it's hard when you tell someone that all of this is a lie, what they hear is my life and my existence and everything that I base myself on, how I judge myself, by which I judge myself, what I defend myself by is all a ruse and a lie. And my parents lied to me, and my teachers lied to me, and my boss lies to me, and my wife lies to me, and my husband lies to me, and I lie to my kids. Everyone and my friends lie to me. Everyone, everything is a lie. And a lot of people, when they hear that, they are immediately offended, because that is just too big of an idea. And it takes some time. It takes some time to digest that. You know, you can't just, you know, that old, you know, don't eat a sandwich and then go swimming. You got to wait a half an hour. You got to wait. You got to give it some time. You got to, you know, like you said, nobody forces you to wake up. Something happens and a light switches on. And then all of a sudden you start getting information and seeking it out. But when people are just upset that they've been working for 30 or 40 years and they've amassed all of these things and it means absolutely nothing because it's part of a control system and they're just part of that control and it's inconsequential about who they are as an individual, because an individual doesn't matter. They're part of a collective, and if anyone in the collective does not do what it takes to keep the machine going, that individual is going to be taken out in any way, shape, or form. It's very offensive to people, and they get angry, and they lash out.
Yeah, and I always find that very interesting as well, how somebody else can be successful at exposing the truth or something like that, and somehow you make them responsible for the lies that you've lived your entire life. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Please subscribe for as little as a dollar a month at the homepage, is TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, or make a donation, and we'll give you some commercial-free archives for the show. I wanted to continue and try and get this email out, because this actually really does speak to a massive, massive portion of the popular, well, maybe actually a small, insignificant, will never really accomplish anything until they wake up. Portion of the population who want to sit around, blame everybody else for the problems in their life, and use that as a convenient excuse to not do anything, right? Okay, so number three, right. That leaves 0.1% of the global population, remember, another made-up statistic, of genetically engineered Homo sapiens who might potentially get involved in the Great Mass Awakening. So your speculation. And he says, well, if that 0.1% is what the truth movement industry pros call a critical mass, great, but somehow I doubt it. Nobody called 0.1% critical mass, which is why you doubt it, and you'd be right to doubt it because you made it up. And if you doubt yourself, you're doing all right. Any change is not going... That was pretty mean of me, wasn't it? Any change is not going to come as a result of a numbers game, and will only be as a result of the controllers miraculously imploding themselves. So what he's saying is humanity has no power. People going out there and waking people up have no power and never cause anything to happen ever. And throughout the entirety of history, nobody's ever made a difference by themselves. History actually tells the exact opposite story. Only really individuals making a difference actually changes things. Even in so-called mass movements, there's never been a revolution in history for which more than a couple of percent of the population actively participated. Never. Right? There's no such thing as a mass movement. It has never, ever, ever, ever existed. So if you think you need a mass population boom or mass awakening or something like that to save you, you're going to be waiting a long time, probably after humanity's extinction. Anyway, so he says, in the meantime, there's no point worrying about it or squandering one's life force and life purpose on being an active truther. Now, having good conversations with people about real stuff, making real discoveries about science, humanity, psychology, the brain, false flag terrorism, new discoveries, history, etc., is, quote, squandering one's life force. It is also unfair and unrealistic to expect awakened people to get active. It's not like they could all set up a website. Yes, they can. It's frickin' easy. And blog, talk, radio show. Actually, they could. It's frickin' easy. With a PayPal donations button and live off every other person's donations. Well, mate, you know, you got to live on the bones of your ass for quite a few years. You know, I'm only just barely surviving now on donations after living for 3 years and building up the radio show from scratch in order to gain the audience that are actually generous and kind and caring enough to give me some of their hard-earned and hard-done-by earnings just so that I can continue to keep entertaining and informing them, you know? And it goes on to say, if that was what the Great Awakening was about, it would never work and would not be very effective, as all talk and no action ain't very effective. Anybody else smell irony? So great for all you truth movement industry gurus with a PayPal donate button. Actually, we changed it to a buy now button because they shut us down because we're not actually a charitable organization, because we're a business, because we actually, you know, try and frickin' expose scumbaggery and make some money out of it so that we don't have to go and do a slave job and can devote an extra entire working week into exposing even more scumbaggery. That's a bad, evil thing. You know, considering we give people the option to donate voluntarily. It's an evil thing. And a weekly radio show. Hello, I have a daily radio show. You know, this guy has no idea what he's talking about. And he calls me mate. But that ain't no truth movement. That's a circus truth movement industry pros and entertainers. There is no truth movement. There is only a truth movement industry. Have you noticed a repetition? You repeat words over and over and over and over again in the hope that the other person will get it. I agree that there's a truth movement industry. Of course. Doesn't mean it's a bad industry. Is the potato farming industry an evil industry? You know, they produce a product. So do we. Except we question all the evil stuff that's going on. And the product is online audio content. Is anybody who produces music, radio content, shows, television shows, films, documentaries, are they all evil because they don't produce some kind of physical product and they actually are talking about real things? You know, what's this guy talking about? There's no active involvement or leadership, just a circuit of talkers selling fear and no solutions. For example, Ian R. Crane, who I know personally and is a very good man, the self-proclaimed ex-oil industry professional, expert, and alternative researcher, is doing a 55-gig UK tour to highlight fracking at £8 a ticket. So if 50 Homo sapiens come to each three-hour talk, that's £400. See, and again, he's making up, again, how much people turn up.
Right.
And then doing a calculation of how much each person would pay, you know, if the estimates would they turn up. So still making stuff up. So if 50 Homo sapiens come to each three-hour talks, that's £400 times 55, that's £22,000. Okay? Not a bad annual salary. £22,000 is not a bad annual salary, but if you're spending all that money hiring all the halls and all the equipment and doing 55 talks that are 3 hours long each and have to do all the logistics and all the traveling, all the flying, the train travel, having to stay in a hotel in each and every place that you live in, if there's not other people around there who will give you a couch of some description, $22K is nothing. He'll wind up with virtually nothing. Okay? Idiot. But what's left at the end of the talk? Sure, folk will learn a bit, but will IRC, Ian R. Crane, have actually made some solutions or committed to a movement to stop fracking? No, he will have just informed some folk on a few stuff and made 22K. Really? So if you're trying to move any movement, don't inform people.
Right.
What?
Yeah, because informing people of something they're not aware of has never inspired anyone to go beyond the person that inspired them.
No, never. He says, it's all money-making BS, mate. Same with the Dean Clifford Forum making Dean $5,000 to $7,000 of profit per month. Some truth, aha. Uh-huh. And he doesn't cite a source or anything for that, so I don't know what he's talking about. Awakening people destroys their lives. Well, of course it does. But their life wasn't their life in the first place. All you're doing is letting them know, hey, man, I'm sorry to destroy your I'm sorry to disillusion you. I'm sorry to take the blinders off. I'm sorry to help you understand that you really are a purchased, owned, and traded livestock commodity, and the government wants to kill you. I'm sorry to have to inform you of that. And it says, and it alienates them from the world. Well, no kidding. You know, not having this sort of information really, really is hard. He says it does educate and enrich one's life also. But knowing as much as I do is great from a spy novel point of view, but ultimately is more mental baggage to consume and carry. That's why you come up with coping mechanisms. Okay? Like cackling, you know? Don't grumble. Give the cackle. And this'll help Always look on the bright side
of life.
Just before you draw your terminal breath. Okay, look, for goodness sake, life is not a spectator sport. Life is not freaking easy. Anybody who says that life can be easy or life can be free of pain or suffering or distress is selling something. Okay? They're selling something. And if you buy it, you're the sucker. All I'm saying is that I'm not buying it. Okay? That's the whole point of doing this. I'm not freaking buying into it anymore. I don't give a frack how much propaganda they've got. I don't give a frack that the vast majority of people are dumb, stupid, slave scum who might not ever wake up. I don't care. I really don't. The point of fact is, I can't live with myself unless I'm doing something about that situation that I disagree with. There is no point in living if you do not spend every day trying to create a better world. Is this getting through, ladies and gentlemen? You know, is this getting through to you, HH? And here's the icing on the cake, Suzanne, you'll love this. Time to switch back on the TV, perhaps, because being a truther ain't exactly a happiness maker and won't win any popularity contests. So let's all drink beer and watch sports. And I am not exaggerating that when I say that equal or less than 1 in 1,000 is likely to wake up or become active anytime soon, if ever. I am not exaggerating my made-up statement. Okay, great. This is my conclusion after following this garbage for 7 years. Best wishes, buds. Now, isn't that the kicker right there? You people are all getting donations and working hard to save and inform humanity and build movements. But I can't be bothered, therefore I'm going to watch TV and drink beer because I'm too tired of this stuff. Don't give up, ladies and gentlemen. Hope springs eternal. The more you do, the more it motivates you to do more. When I'm feeling unmotivated, I just listen to a couple of my shows or watch a couple of my videos that I've done years ago, and suddenly I go, man, how fracking far have I come? Unbelievable! You know? You can dig up inspiration from every single thing that you've survived, every single thing that you've produced. Some people don't produce anything. Some people don't go through actual suffering, and they don't learn the lesson of life that it is not your suffering that you're supposed to avoid. That's the thing you're actually supposed to crave. It is what makes you who you are. And through persecution and scumbaggery, hey, you become stronger. Do you think all the best people that throughout history who've tried to change things for the better have had an easy, smooth ride and were worried about popularity? Were worried about other people's fragile state of current being and how you might actually destroy their current perception of it by giving them new information? You think this has been easy for anybody? You know, Galileo was locked up. Many people have been killed or worse. I don't know what's worse than death, but I can guarantee you being tortured and raped and sacrificed on some kind of an altar that they probably did way back in the day in some ancient cultures or in the Bohemian Grove. They probably went through a lot worse stuff. They probably went through a lot worse stuff than we're going through. Quit your whinging. Start fighting. Okay? What do you think's going to happen once the beer runs out and they turn the television off? Come on. Just think for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, about what this person has been really saying and what he thinks. And understand that I notice so many attributes of myself within this email talking back at me. What about you, Suzanne? Same deal, isn't it? We've all had thoughts like this. But it's not what we think that defines who we are. It's not what we say. It's what we do. And this guy's telling us that what we're doing is wrong, and that by doing nothing, it's much better and easier and more fun because you get to drink beer and watch sport.
What was I doing before? You know, what was so great about your life before? You're working hard to earn something. You buy everything on credit. You never get ahead. You're always under pressure from your boss and from all your creditors and your parents and your friends, and you always want to be something that you're not. You're never happy with who you are. You never look in the mirror and say, gee, I like myself. You never appreciate the time that you spend with your family or your loved ones. Your mind is always racing on all the things that you don't have. Every time they come up with something new, you think to yourself, gee, I can't afford that. I must suck. You always look at somebody else having a good time and you think that they're having a good time, but really they're not having a good time because they're looking at somebody else thinking they're having a good time, and on it goes. And then you die. And is that the best that we can come up with? I don't
perpetually
think so.
Perpetually reaching for the unobtainable until the day that it kills you.
Right, and then you go and then you get sick from all the crap, from all the stress, from all the food, from all the garbage that you've been exposing yourself to. Your wife leaves you, your kids hate you, and then you die. And then you die at the hands of people who are trying to kill you because you're worth more if you're sick and dying than you are if you're healthy. Okay, fine, go ahead. Pop open a beer and start watching the football game. I don't want to. I would... Every single day, I appreciate my family. I purposefully, you know what I did on Saturday? On Sunday, my husband took my son out fishing, and they spent 7 hours out there at a lake fishing and having a good time. I stayed home with my 2-year-old and played hide and seek for 4 hours.
That was the best time
I've had in a long time.
We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Also, wanted to just again quickly remind people that we're in desperate need of renewing subscriptions and giving us that monthly income that keeps all the bills paid because we're really up in our game here now and doing extra filming and HD footage and stuff like that, which we haven't been doing before, which is a lot more time-consuming, a lot hard work, but for much better quality, so it's well worth it. Now, going back to reading emails from listeners, this one is from Ryan. In contrast to the last one we just read, Vinny, I have just recently started hearing your message. I found you while listening to an old broadcast of Jack Blood talking about how corrupt some truth movement people have become and that the world needs more honest, down-to-earth people like me, like you and others. It's only been a few days since I've heard you, and already you have inspired me to be a better person. I have always been a good person. It's just lately my life has gone south fast and feeling sorry for myself. But then I heard you on a broadcast on the Dave Boyle Show, and I have realized that my life isn't all that bad. Yes, I'm unemployed and have recently come days away from death. I struggled every day to get out of bed and move on to what has gone on in the past few months. I have a wonderful little boy who looks up to me in every way, and lately it's hard to look at him back. At the beginning of this year, my leg was broken. After all that, got hooked on those frickin' pain pills, which in turn, after getting hooked on them and telling my doctor I'm hooked, only to have her turn around and take me off them. Well, then I began giving my money to the dope-dealing CIA, ingesting heroin. Took that stuff for 10 days and got a blood infection that almost killed me. I was hospitalized up till 11 days ago, and with a broken leg and the rods that's in it, I can't work for myself anymore and lost all hope. Because like you, I hate working for someone else. I'm not sure why I'm telling you all this. A lot has to do with relating to how your past was and the awesome guy you have become. I have for years tried to point out the injustice that happens and the government lies that are fed to us Americans. I have lost friends and family relationships over trying to wake up those around me. I admire you in every way and aspire to be as smart and informed as you. Not sure again why I'm sending you this, just to tell you that you're the man and keep your head high. I'm going to get off my ass tomorrow and do something again with my life. I look forward to listening to more of your podcasts, and thanks very much, Vinny, from Ryan in Rochester, New York of the USA. That is truth. Okay? Having the ability to be inspired and wanting to go out and do something despite all the crap that is happening to you. That is the personification of the kind of thing that we all really should be aspiring to be, you know. Maybe I've helped people wake up and become inspired or be able to relate to other people better or something of that nature. You know, I've received emails to this effect. But the thing is, I can't be there with you in your life. I can't hold your hand or do everything every step in the way. You know, you really do have to make your own decisions and plot your own course through life and just use everybody as a source of inspiration, encouragement, and enlightenment. Use everybody you can in every single way you can. And make the decision to just really take responsibility for what's happening to you, despite all the bad things, and just get out there and do it anyway. You know?
Right, and if that's what you and I are, that's our role in this thing. And that's not a bad thing. Everyone needs something that inspires them. Everyone needs something that helps them get up in the morning. If you and I become that for our audience, then that means that potentially everyone who listens to us we'll get up and do something, and isn't that what we want?
Yeah, well, and the thing is, he may just be one of 100 people, one out of 100 that actually do decide, you know what, man, that really has shaken me out of my slumber, I'm going to go out and do something. Just for me, one person to be doing this with maybe the few crew members at American Freedom Radio and the guests that we have on the show, that kind of thing, very small amount of people can actually have a positive effect in people's lives. And I know that I'm now having this positive effect, and it makes me feel a lot more obligated to do even more to help people because I'm in a position where I can, therefore I must.
Absolutely. And people forget, if you look at the education system, it takes 12 to 16 years to program someone to be a slave. And all of a sudden, when you come to a realization, you're supposed to shed all of that programming. It takes time, and it takes people informing, and it takes people researching, and it takes people specializing in certain fields and coming on radio and doing talks and doing seminars to wake people up. It's a lot of information that needs to get out, and it needs to be repeated over and over again. I've got kids. I tell you something. I have the same conversation with my children every day because they just don't, as soon as the sun wakes up, they've forgotten everything that I told them the day before, and I'm constantly repeating myself. So if some people focus on information, that's great. If some people focus on rallying the troops and doing protests, that's wonderful. If some people focus on music, music is highly inspirational. That's great. If some people want to do a documentary, that's amazing. We need all facets of media involved in this and every way, shape, or form that we can get up and change things. And if your role is to do this one specific thing, that's great, because inspiration comes through information. And if it takes them, you know, something like 14, 16, maybe even 20 years to indoctrinate someone, think of all the years that we have to combat that indoctrination and get people to realize to the point where they actually want to get up and do something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think of it kind of like the human body. Each organ in the human body has a role. You know, the skin, that's an organ that's designed to... Keep bad stuff from getting into your bloodstream, right? Your liver, it's meant to filter out toxins and poisons and things of that nature that somehow get ingested, whether it be alcohol or whatnot. Okay, everything's got a function, everything's got a role, and the entire body dies if even one of those things goes out. You know, you got kidney failure, you're dead, unless you got dialysis machine or a transplant. Liver failure, you're dead. Heart failure, you're dead. If anything fails, you're freaking dead, all right? That's how the body works. If your immune system's out, you get a small cold, achoo, you're dead. Okay? And this is how the truth movement works. Everybody's got their own specific role. They might be different. Some may be seen as more vital to the whole body overall, like the heart or the brain or something like that. But the heart or the brain cannot survive without the kidneys or the liver or the duodenum or the stomach or the long intestine or the reproductive organs for that matter. You know, you won't survive for long without those. And that's the end of the story. Okay, play your frickin' part. Keep this body of humanity alive. Don't think collectively about it. Just try and do your job really, really well. And if one of the organs fails, somebody else is going to have to come in and fill the shoes of that person who's failed. You know?
Right.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry.
And the good thing is more people are. More people have blog talks or radio shows. More people are starting groups on social media sites. More people are starting their own websites. More people are doing YouTube videos. So it's like getting a transplant. So if one fails, we've got 10 behind you that are fresh and new and willing and able and ready, because one of the best motivators is when you're upset. And a lot of these people who first wake up, we go through the stages of grieving because we realize that our life is a lie. And when you get to that anger part, that's a huge motivator. They're like, yeah, man, I'm really pissed off. I'm going to talk. Oh, yeah, I'm going to expose you. Oh, yeah, let's bring it on.
And what is unhealthy about that, you know? It's almost like some kind of religious zealotry, you know, like a crusade, as it were, against scumbaggery and all of its works. And if you back down to evil, like true, unadulterated, horrific, child-sacrificing, pedophile rings with millions of missing children, evil, heaven help you. You know? What's your excuse, man? You're either all in or you're gone. You're worth nothing. Okay, this is the moment. This is the decision that you've got to make. Do I want to get exterminated? Do I want to, in lieu of extermination, accept perpetual slavery for myself and my forebears? Do I want all forms of freedom, all the light and good in this world to go out? Do I want to live in perpetual darkness because of my inaction? If the answer is no, then you've got some very, very hard work to do. Waking yourself up, waking others up, getting active, making a frickin' difference. If you do nothing, you don't make a difference. So, ergo, in order to make a difference, it's not actually that hard. Just don't do nothing. Something. Anything. Whatever your skill base is. You know, I happen to have the gift of the gab, boom, radio show host. Okay, fantastic. I can use my talent and you can use my skill, help people with it. If you are a musician, you can sing to people, you can communicate. You can get across really interesting, intricate, fabulous messages. You can go out to bars and play that kind of thing. You can change the culture to what you want it to be by being who you want to be and what you are meant to be. Do what you're meant to be doing, and I guarantee you, the world will improve. If not for everybody else, at the very least, for you, the person who's improving and taking action yourself without anybody else's permission. Suzanne Posel from Occupy Corporatism, thank you very much for joining me today. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your kind, loving attention. And, of course, your donations and subscriptions are highly valued. Thank you very much. We'll see you again sometime.